We are wrapping up our series of four important questions. This is the last week. We've got a couple more weeks, and then in the middle of September, we're going to be starting our fall series. We're going to be going through the wonderful book of Deuteronomy. And if you don't believe that's wonderful now, just keep coming, and then you'll see why it is wonderful. It's a story of Moses' last speech before the Israelites go into the promised land without him. It's a time of transition. And we feel like our church is also at a point of transition. So we think, hey, there's a lot of things that Moses says that applies to us. So we're going to study that. And that's going to be beginning in September. If you check your bulletins, you'll see some information about groups. We hope you would join some. If you have questions, please ask around. I'm sure somebody will have some answers. Because it's really frustrating when people don't have answers. When you want something done and it doesn't get done. I have a friend who had some yard waste sitting out in front of his house for over a month. And it wasn't because of anything on his end. It was because the trash company was not picking up the yard waste. And we know that times are difficult, that there's a shortage of workers on all areas of life, and the trash company just wasn't getting around to it. It was very frustrating. And days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into over months. Made phone calls, called, talked to this technician, this customer service person, wrote down case numbers, called back. Hey, they're still not getting any service. My yard waste is still there. Talked to a supervisor, talked, waited, we'll be here. Promises made, none fulfilled. I mean, you've been there. You can imagine the frustration. I told him that he should set the yard waste on fire. Just light it up. It's been out there for a long time. It's nice and dry. Go ahead. And I said that if he did that, I bet he would get some attention. He'd get some assistance. It may not be from the trash company, you know, maybe a fireman would come or something, but any which way, he'd be able to get rid of that and move along with his life. He didn't take my suggestion pretty wisely, instead kept calling, and finally he got a hold of the regional supervisor, the supervisor of the area. Went through all of the story, talked about everything that was going on, and the supervisor said, okay, I'm going to take care of this for you. Here's my cell phone number. If it's not picked up tomorrow, call me on my personal cell phone number and we'll make sure to get it done. Tomorrow comes, and how many people think the trash was picked up? How many think it was gone? It was still there. Oh, you guys have been working with the government too much. This guy, the trash was gone. The yard waste was picked up. And it is amazing what can happen when you talk with the right people, with the right knowledge, who have the power and the authority and the willingness to help. We've all been in situations where we've needed help, and we just feel like we get the runaround. Have you ever been in a hospital? Have you ever dealt with anything that has to do with the government? I mean, it is so frustrating to try to find somebody who's knowledgeable but not powerful. Powerful, that has the authority, doesn't know what to be done. Somebody that can do both of those but is unwilling to help. We always need somebody in our situation who has the knowledge, the authority, the power, and the willingness to help us. Today we're going to look at a situation where there is a man who had a big problem, and he needed somebody with that power, authority, willingness to help. And no surprise, that person is Jesus, and he helps the man. So let's look at Mark. Mark chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open it up, follow along. If you have a digital one, go ahead, swipe over there, and I'm reading the ESV translation, and you can adjust accordingly. So we're in Mark chapter 10. Let me start in verse 46. It says, and they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So we see what the setting is. Jesus and his crew with the crowd is going along. Previously, we see that they are going to Jerusalem. And they are leaving Jericho, heading towards Jerusalem, and they're going through a very popular road, and there's probably lined with a lot of beggars. And they pass this one beggar, Bartimaeus, who's blind. And he catches wind that Jesus is the one that's coming. This is not just any Jesus, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was probably a pretty common name, as it was kind of a connection with Yahshua. You know, the Hebrew word Joshua, which was a common name. But this is Jesus of Nazareth. So he hears that he's coming. And he starts to cry out to him. Jesus, son of David. Son of David? Wait a minute, I thought that Jesus was the son of Joseph. But I also heard that Jesus was the son of God. And actually, some people have called him the son of man. Whose son is Jesus? What is his genealogy looking like? What's the family tree situation here? Well, he is the son of Joseph. He is the son of God. He's the son of man, which is a title. Same thing with the son of David. What's the significance here with Jesus being the son of David? Well, maybe Bartimaeus believed an urban legend that Jesus was from the lineage of Solomon, the great Solomon, who was the son of David. And there were some writings a little bit after Solomon had lived that said that Solomon was a great healer. Not only was he the wisest man in the world, but he had the ability to perform some crazy miracles and heal people. And maybe this Jesus that we've heard of doing some healings has to come from this line. So he's calling out to him, son of David, kind of like Solomon was a son of David. It could be that maybe he was just using the most dramatic title that he could come up with. Jesus is around a crowd. He's a popular person. There's a lot of noise. He's doing whatever he can do to get Jesus' attention. So he's just calling out things. Just what is a name that he might recognize that he's not used to hearing? Son of David! Son of David! He's doing anything to get the man's attention. Or maybe, and this is what I believe, that Bartimaeus had some insight into who Jesus was. That through the rumors and the stories that he's heard, that he believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And son of David is kind of like a shorthand term for Messiah among the Jews. And I'm not sure everything that he understood about what the Messiah is to come. There's a lot of confusion back then about what the Messiah was. But we know that at least he believed Jesus was going to be able to help him. That in his situation, that if he called out to Jesus, the son of David, that he would be able to provide some mercy for him. That he was going to help him in his situation. So what happens? As he calls out, son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. And verse 48. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So he's crying out. And then the crowd, his disciples, Jesus' disciples around him, are telling this guy to shut up. Be quiet. You are too loud. You are too annoying. Just be quiet. Don't you see we're trying to have a conversation? Jesus is a very important person. You're just this beggar on the road. Shut your trap. And here's what we need to recognize. That what happened was that when Bartimaeus was trying to call out for help for Jesus, the crowd was trying to shut him up. And this is something that we need to recognize ourselves. That the crowd will try to silence you when you call out to Jesus for help and mercy. The crowd will try to silence you as you call out to Jesus for help and mercy. I don't want to be the guy who says that the world is in a terrible shape and everything is horrible and everyone's against us. But it's not hard to look around and see how culture and society and the world at large really does seem to be against Christians. I'm not saying that they're all negative on Jesus. In fact, there's a lot of places where Jesus is talked about, a lot of places where people talk freely about Jesus and encourage you to talk about Jesus. But it feels like they always talk about what I think about as hippie Jesus, loving Jesus, kind Jesus, never says anything that hurts your feelings Jesus, and tries to make sure that everybody always gets along and gets their way. And people are very happy to hear about that Jesus, who's all love and hugs and kisses and peace and never any conflict. But that's not the Jesus that we read about in the Bible. When we start talking about the Jesus that we see in the Bible, especially the fact that Jesus is the king, he's the king over everything. Especially when we start talking about the exclusivity of Jesus, that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, that there is no forgiveness of sins except by his name, that no one comes to the Father God except through him. When we start talking about that, well, then we get a lot of silent. Then we get a lot of pushback. We get a lot of shut-ups. We get a lot of, you need to stay quiet. And right now, our country is still privileged enough that that seems like it's the worst of what we're going to face. For a while, it seems like at most, they're going to yell at us and tell us to be quiet. But there are plenty of places in the world where our brothers and sisters in Christ, that if they speak up, they're told to shut up with words and with actions. People will say, you need to keep your mouth shut with their fists and with clubs and with violence. I'm very grateful that we still have the protections that we do today. But But we need to still speak up. We need to talk. We need to persevere. We need to cry out to Jesus. And we need to be ready for what happens. So keep going. In your problems, in your desperation, in your hurt, in your pain, in your needs, cry out to Jesus. You see, that's what Bartimaeus does. Look at it again. Because many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more. He cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. He kept going. When the crowd gets loud towards you, you need to be louder towards Jesus. I know that there is a time and a place for Christians to stand up in the culture and say, this is who we are, this is what we believe, and this is the best way to live life according to God's ways. There's a time and a place to say that, and there's proper ways to say that. But this passage doesn't give us any advice on how to do it. In fact, this passage tells us almost the opposite, that we don't need to focus on the crowds, we need to ignore them and stay focused on Jesus. Because that's what Bartimaeus does. He shuts out the crowds. He doesn't listen to what they have to say, but he cries all the more to Jesus. And that's where we need to be. I encourage you, be ready for the shouts in your work. My high school and middle school friends, be ready for the shouts. Be ready for the teachers, for the coaches, for the adults, for the authorities to tell you to shut up about Jesus. Don't argue with them. Just cry out all the more to who Jesus is. I've been in enough wrestling matches, and I've seen enough fighting and boxing matches to know that at the end, there's a moment of desperation. And there's a point where people who are fighting, they do one of two things. They're either exhausted, and they give up, and they're defeated. Or they become really desperate. And they know that this is the last chance that they have to make a push, to try to get victory, to try to endure to the end, to try to last until the clock runs out. So you see an extra fury of activity. You see people scrambling. You see people throwing punches and kicks, and you just people just using all of their energy, giving everything they have to just make it to the end, to try to achieve the victory, to try to win. There's so many people that think desperation is a weakness. But in this situation, when we're crying out to Jesus, our desperation is our strength. It's the time that we need to not just dig deep, but to look outward and realize that there are people that are trying to keep us from Jesus, and we need to press on towards him and cry out all the more. Because when we do, we're going to see some amazing things. We need to be like the persistent widow who just continually, again and again and again, went to the judge asking for justice. Again and again and again, go to Jesus, cry out all the more. Have mercy. I need help. Where are you? Because we're going to see that that makes a difference. Look what happens in verse 49. It says, and verse 49, and Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. He stopped. He's going on his way, and he hears the persistent call from Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, this nobody, this absolutely nobody. And he hears his name again and again and again. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. Jesus allows himself to be interrupted while he's going to Jerusalem, while he's going to the cross. He stops. He shows compassion. He allows himself to pause his agenda to engage with this blind beggar, nobody on the road. And do you see how this crowd responds? Take heart, get up, he's calling you. I mean, isn't this the same crowd that was just saying, shut up? Shut up, yeah, you're annoying, go ahead, call him to me. Hey, come on, Jesus is seeing you, he heard you. Come on, buddy, let's go along. This is one of the reasons why we don't pay attention to the crowd, because they're fickle. They're flopping around like a fish on a deck. They're changing all over the place. They change their mind. If you try to keep up with the crowd, oh my goodness, you're going to be switching your mind and changing who you are all the time. But if we stay focused on Jesus, then we can see that he stops and he calls us. This is such a good point, that Jesus hears our cries and he calls us to himself. The perseverance paid off. The perseverance of Bartimaeus, that he just kept calling and calling and calling and calling and crying out and pleading, it paid off because Jesus stopped and he called him to himself. And how does Bartimaeus respond? Look at verse 50. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. This is incredible. Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up. I'm going to guess that Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, was no Navy SEAL. I'm going to guess that he's not the most agile person that there is. He's probably not the most physically fit, that he's really done his calisthenics. I'm guessing that he's a weak, feeble man. And yet when Jesus called, he threw off his cloak and he sprung up. He jumped up to go to Jesus. How is it that you go in the middle of the night? Remember, he's blind, so he can't see anything. It's the middle of the night and you wake up. What do you do? Are you throwing your covers off and jumping off out of bed, heading to wherever's going? No, you're probably like, wait a minute, let me see. Is there a light? Where's my phone? Can I get a flashlight? Is this a big deal? I mean, you're just trying to get adjusted. We're not fast moving. We're not quick. We want to see where we're going in the darkness. Not Bartimaeus. He knows this is his one chance. This is his opportunity. He's been calling out for mercy, and the one that he called to heard him and said, come here, come to me. And he's moving. We need to be quick to respond to Jesus' call. Bartimaeus was quick to respond to Jesus' call. Have you ever seen somebody quick to answer a call on their phone? It usually happens when the call is at a very inappropriate time. At a wedding, at a funeral, in the middle of the night, when the baby's sleeping. I would say at the movies, but I think everybody answers their phones at the movies. I don't even know if people are watching movies anymore. But those moments where it's like ringing and you're like, oh, and you see somebody, they're trying to get it out of their pocket or they're reaching into the purse. They find everything except for that. I mean, there's a franticness. There's an urgency. There's a, I got to get this call really quick. This is the kind of attitude and the kind of energy that we should have when Jesus calls us. I do not want to let this go to voicemail. I got to answer this call right now. I've got to engage and talk with Jesus. He is telling me to do something. I need to respond with enthusiasm. That's what we see Bartimaeus doing. Let me ask some of you, have you heard the call from Jesus? There's some of you here that have been hearing the Spirit's invitation. You've been hearing the Spirit telling you to stop fighting God, stop running away from him, but turn to Jesus and embrace Jesus through faith as Lord, as Savior. Listen to this invitation from Jesus. He says, come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You want rest? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Have you been hearing God calling you to himself, but resisting and fighting? But he offers rest for your souls. He offers peace. He offers joy. He offers himself. I encourage you, if you've never done it before, tell the Spirit, okay, I'm done. I'm done running. I surrender. I'm not running away. I'm not stiff-arming God. I'm turning to him. I'm trusting him. I know that I've been rebelling. I know I've been sinning. I know I've been wanting my own way, but I'm tired. And I want rest. So now I'm coming to you, Jesus, and I'm trusting in what you've done on the cross, that by dying that death, you paid the price so that I could be free, so that I could be at peace with God, so that I could have rest, eternal rest. If you have never done that before, listen to the call the Spirit's putting into your heart and respond not to me, but to God, and tell him, I surrender. Jesus, I trust you, and I want to embrace you instead of stiff-arming you. And see how he responds. See the work that happens, the transformation, the life that you feel. If you have questions about that, please come and talk with me afterwards or find a friend. But don't leave here if the Spirit's telling you and He's calling you. Don't leave here ignoring and stiff-arming God. No, trust Him. Put your faith in Jesus. For some of us, we've done that a long time ago. And we have our rest and our safety and security in Jesus. But maybe He's calling us to something else. Maybe He's calling you to a hard conversation. Maybe it's a hard conversation where you know that you should testify. You should witness about who Jesus is and how He forgives sins to somebody who needs that forgiveness. Maybe it's the hard conversation where you need to admit that you did something wrong. You need to confess. Maybe it's the hard conversation where you need to apologize. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness, or you need to give forgiveness. Maybe Jesus is calling you to give up something. He's calling you to give up some of your money, to give up some of your time, to give up some of your stuff, so that you can serve other people, so you can engage and help them the way that other people have helped you. Whatever it is that Jesus is calling you to do, do it. Answer. Don't delay. Don't switch off. Trust Him and see what happens. Because that's what happens here. We see Bartimaeus, he hears that Jesus calls him and he gets up and he throws off his cloak and he comes to Jesus. And look at verse 51. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." He comes to Jesus, and Jesus is probably looking at him in the eyes, and Bartimaeus doesn't even realize it. And he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" What a question. This is the same question that Jesus asked James and John in the previous story. If you just look at the section ahead and compare and contrast those, it'd be pretty beneficial for you. What do you want me to do for you? Why is Jesus asking this question? He already knows. Everybody already knows what Bartimaeus wants. He wants to see. He's been here. He's been crying out. Everybody knows that the blind beggar wants to see. Why is Jesus asking this question? It's because Jesus isn't looking for information. He's looking for a conversation. He's not asking the question to find out the answer. He's asking the question to initiate a discussion, a conversation. He wants to relate to Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. He wants to know what's on his heart. He's basically saying, "Let's chat. Let's chat. You got something on your mind. I want to hear about it a little bit. Tell me, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" How do you answer that question? "Jesus, I want more money. I want more stuff. I've been watching a lot of commercials, and there's some pretty neat things out there that would make my life better. I want some of that. That would solve all my problems. Jesus, I want to be happy. I just feel down. I just want to be happy. Is that too much to ask for? I want my boss or my teacher or my parents or my child to leave me alone. I want some moments of peace and rest. I hope that you realize that when Jesus asks this question, He wants an honest answer. Whenever God asks us a question, He wants an honest answer. And it's safe to give Him an honest answer. It's safe to pour out our hearts, to tell Him exactly what's on our mind, exactly what we want. There's freedom in that. There's safety in that because God loves us. He cares for us. And He wants us to know Him because He already knows and loves us. And in spite of all the mess that we are, He still says, "Come to me. What do you want me to do for you?" Pour out your heart to Him. This month has been a challenge for me. In some ways, it's been really good. In other ways, it's been hard. And I've been reflecting on some of the ways that I've been failing. And it's been discouraging. It's been frustrating. I've felt sad, remorse, embarrassed. I felt guilty. I felt confused and angry. Like, I'm not sure where I am and how do I get out of where I'm at? Where do I go? It's very disorienting. So there's been moments that I've just been pouring out my heart. I've just been thinking about this question, what do you want me to do for you? And I've been honest with God. I said, "God, this is really what I want you to do. And some of it, I know what I want is wrong, but it's still what I want. So some of what I want you to do is change who I am. What do you want me to do for you?" When you hear the Spirit ask that question, then be honest and be specific of what you want. I want you to change this person in my life. I want this person out of my life. God, I miss this person, and I want that person back in my life. I want to have self-control. I'm tired. I don't want to be addicted to alcohol or drugs or my phone or video games or pornography or shopping or food or gossip or fill in the blank. I'm tired of how these things control me and I have to do them. I'm just sick of it. What I want you to do is I want you to set me free. I want to be able to make my own decisions, and I want my decisions to be good towards life, towards you, God. I want to feel better. I want the pain to stop. I want the pain to stop physically. I want the pain to stop emotionally. I want the pain to stop mentally. I want peace. I want love. God, I want safety and security. I want acceptance. Whatever it is that you want, be honest and truthful. Because remember, Jesus isn't asking a question for information. It's an invitation for a conversation. And whether it's a need or a want, God listens, He cares, and then this is the best part, He acts. God listens, He cares, and then He acts. This is what we see in prayer, and this is what we see in this story with Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And verse 52, and Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Bartimaeus says, this is what I want you to do. And Jesus responds to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight. He recovered his sight, meaning that he had sight beforehand, and then he didn't. And now he has it back. Think about what Bartimaeus had been experiencing. That he has memories of sight, seeing people that he loved, friends, colors, beautiful sunsets, wonderful moments that for a long time all he heard, but now he can see. He heard about Jesus. He heard Jesus' voice. He believed. He trusted him. And he was healed. This is an amazing development. This is incredible. And this is what we need to know, is that Jesus not only hears our cries, but he answers our cries for help. Bartimaeus was healed immediately. Give your prayers to God. Keep going with your prayers because you will get an answer. It may not be quite as quick as this was, but you'll still get an answer. Because we can be confident that Jesus answers our prayer, and he's going to answer it in a way that it's good for us and it's for his glory, even if it's not what we want. And that can be really confusing. And there are some people here that are like, time out, Jim, I was with you, but at that last part, like, I don't know. I don't understand how God can answer my prayers the way that he did, because not only do I not want that, but I don't see how that's good. It's not good for me, and it doesn't give God any glory. Like, I don't know if I believe that. I can't jump on board there. Look, I hear you. I hear you. We've been there. We'll be there again. But remember, we cannot minimize or discount the place of faith. The place of faith. What does Jesus say? He says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Before Bartimaeus could see with his eyes, he saw with his spirit. He saw with his soul. He saw with his heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has the power for healing, that he had faith in who he is and what he could do. And this is what faith is. It's simply trusting Jesus that he is who he says he is, and that he will do the best. And that if we follow him, things will turn out the best. Even if we don't understand. Even if it looks worse. Even if we're confused. This is what faith is. Trusting Jesus. That he is the Son of God. That he has the power of God. And that he's going to use it for God's glory and for our good. Even when it doesn't make sense to us. Faith is trust. It's trusting him. And Bartimaeus here is saying, I want to see. And Jesus says that you have faith. And he has the faith to receive the sight. This should be so encouraging to us. He cries out for help, and he keeps crying. He keeps crying out for help. He keeps going. He finally hears an audience. Jesus invites him in. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He tells him, and Jesus answers, "Don't give up on your prayers. Don't give up on your prayers." Because when we cry out to God, he stops, he listens, he gives us attention, and then he answers. Do you have faith in Jesus? With whatever problem you're facing, especially the problems within your own heart, within your own soul, do you have faith that Jesus in his life, in his death, in his resurrection can overcome everything that's wrong with you and with the world? That he can set it all straight, that he is the Messiah, he is the chosen one. Do you have that faith that he can bring healing to your mind, to your soul, to your spirit, and to your body? If not now, then in the afterlife. Do you have that faith? Do you trust him in his perfect timing? Bartimaeus is a great example of what it means to trust him in the midst of suffering, of not seeing everything that we want to see, of confusion, of people against us pressing in. He trusts in the Savior who's holding him from within so that he's not destroyed. But he's clinging to Jesus. He's hanging on to him. And here's the thing that we should see. I think this is a good main point. The ones who truly see Jesus for who he is will cry out to him and follow him. The ones who truly see Jesus for who he is will call out to him, will pray to him, to talk to him. And then as he calls him to himself, those that see him, they'll follow him. Immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Following him on his way, he just kept going. He didn't turn like the other man that we saw a couple weeks ago. "Hey, I'm good. Peace out." He said, no, now that I can see and see so clearly, I'm following you. Because you have the power of God, because you are the Son of God. You are the Son of David. Where else would I go? Where else have I found this help? Where else have I found this compassion? Who else has stopped to talk with me and help me with my problems? And I'm just going to leave them? No. What about you? Do you have faith to follow Jesus, even as he's heading towards the cross? He's heading towards suffering. But Bartimaeus is like, "I'm in. I'm with you. I'm following you. Because you called me and I answered and I have faith in you. So I'm trusting you." The ones who truly see Jesus for who he is will call out to him and will follow him. Who have we seen Jesus to be today? Well, we see that he's the Son of David. He's the Messiah. He's the promised and prophesied King who establishes God's kingdom in heaven here on earth, bringing peace and prosperity back to God's people. And he is still bringing about that kingdom now. Jesus is the one who hears our cries. He listens to our requests. He allows himself to be interrupted. And then he's the one that acts. He's the one that sees our faith and he blesses us. He saw the faith of Bartimaeus and he blessed him. He may not bless us all the same way, but he sees your faith. It does not go unnoticed. And there is blessing when we trust in Jesus. He's willing to meet us where we are. He comes to us as we are. He calls us to himself. He makes himself available. He shows compassion and love as he heals us and restores us and makes us well within our mind, our soul, our spirit, and someday our body as we'll be glorified like he's glorified. What do you want me to do for you? How do you answer that question? And do you have faith that Jesus will answer that question in a way that's good for you and give him glory? Call out to Jesus. Don't let your pride get in the way. Don't let your self-sufficiency get in the way. Don't let your knowledge or your education or your income or your whininess or your excuses, don't let them get in the way. Set them aside and humble yourself before God so that when you cry out to him and he answers, you willingly and graciously, in faith, receive what he gives. And then we can be more like Bartimaeus. To wrap up this, I thought this was a really good comment a commentator had. He said that Bartimaeus has been transformed from a helpless man who is going nowhere to a restored man who sets out on the road to follow Jesus. What a great summary. Don't you want to be like Bartimaeus? I know I do. I know that there's plenty of times that I feel like I'm hopeless, sitting on the side of the road going nowhere. Yet Jesus has come to me and called me, and I respond in faith and trust him, and he has healed me and brought me. So now that I'm not going anywhere, but I'm following him along the way. I'm following Jesus. Join me. Join us as we put our faith in Jesus and follow him along the way. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that there is life and purpose and salvation and freedom and joy and love and all the things that we desire deep within us, we can find in the person of Jesus, because he is God. He's the God-man. He's our Savior. He's the one that made us and redeemed us. So we pray that we would see him more clearly. Thank you for opening up the physical eyes of Bartimaeus. Thank you for changing his heart so that he would respond in faith. Do the same for us. Would you open up the eyes of our hearts so that we would see you clearly, that we would not be led astray, but then instead that we would look to you. We would keep our eyes focused on you, that when people shouted us to shut up, that we would look and call out to you all the more, within our hearts especially, to have a discussion, to have a conversation. Thank you that you want us to know you and that you want a relationship. Thank you, Jesus, that you've provided a way for that relationship through your sacrifice on the cross, through your resurrection, so that we may have life. I pray, Spirit, that you would work within the hearts of us, that we would say yes to you, and that we would submit knowing that it is good and for your glory. So we pray that you would encourage us and help us to encourage each other. Let us go along the way, following Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We give you great praise, Jesus. Amen.